Bass, the parish priest of St. Barnabas Parish in the Anglican Church in the Diocese of Trinidad and Tobago. I welcome you to reflection on this seventh Sunday of Easter, the Sunday after Ascension Day, Year B. Our readings today come from Acts chapter 1, verses 15 to 17, and verse 21 to 26. Psalm 1, 1 John chapter 5, verses 9 to 13, and the Gospel of John chapter 17, verses 6 to 19. Let us pray. The Lord is here and we will praise him. The Lord is here and we will worship him. The Lord is here and we will trust him. The Lord is here and we will honor him. The Lord is here and he has called us to give him all the glory. Amen. Our loving Heavenly Father, we come because we must. We come because we ought to. We come because we need to. We come because we long to. We come because in you we have a joy and a gladness we have never known before. We come because you are the Lord. Lord, we lift our hearts and minds and lives with so many things that we hope will bring us peace and fulfillment. But we are left feeling empty and alone. We have come to worship you because we believe that Christ is the bread of life and that true fulfillment is only found in him. We pray for your blessing. Open our minds to be attentive to your word of grace and our hearts to the Spirit of Christ. Amen.
Will you come and follow me if I become?
We pray the collect for the seventh Sunday of Easter, the Sunday after Ascension Day, followed by the Easter Anthem and then our parish prayer. Let us pray. O God, the King of Glory, you have exalted your only Son, Jesus Christ, with great triumph to your kingdom in heaven. Do not leave us comfortless, but send your Holy Spirit to strengthen us and exalt us to that place where our Savior Christ has gone before, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, in glory everlasting. Amen. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. So let us celebrate the feast, not with the unleavened of corruption and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Christ, once raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. In dying, he died to sin once for all. In living, he lives to God. See yourselves, therefore, as dead to sin, and alive to God in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who sleep. For as by man came death, by man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. Our parish prayer. Gracious God, you sent your only Son, Jesus, to be for us an example of godly living. Empower us by your Holy Spirit to treasure your creation, that we may be his faithful disciples in our time and place, making disciples of all nations, sharing his words with all who need to hear them, and helping our brothers and sisters to experience life in all its fullness, all to your honor and glory, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our reflection today is entitled, Having a Vision. Having a Vision. Many organizations, in their preparations for the future success, engage in some kind of analysis or assessment of their internal and external environment. Part of this exercise usually involves the production of a vision statement, a precise statement of what the organization would like to become and therefore work towards in its sphere of activities. Arising out of our diocesan strategic planning exercise in 2015, the clergy of the diocese produced a vision statement. The new wine vineyard, revealing Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. We were invited as Anglicans to see our church as the body of Christ, revealing Christ in all aspects of our mission and ministry in the power of the Holy Spirit. Whatever we do as a diocese will not be on our own strength, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. In other words, we were called to be a spirit-driven church, always doing God's will, with a renewed approach to the environment in which we find ourselves. And that was our mission. Do you have a personal vision for yourself as a disciple of Christ? If a vision is essential for an organization, it is equally or even more important for each of us who call ourselves Christians today to have a vision of
who we would like to be. As we meditate on our personal vision, I invite us this evening to reflect on our psalm appointed for today, Psalm 1. This psalm could be entitled, The Way of the Righteous and the Way of the Ungodly. This, the first psalm in the book of Psalms, sets the tone for the rest of the 149 psalms that are presented to us in the Bible. It points to the fact that there are two distinct groups of people, the righteous and the ungodly, or the unrighteous or the wicked, depending on which translation of the Bible you use. The psalmist emphasizes the ungodly to show that those who belong to that group are not in favor with God. They follow the way of the world. The righteous follow the way of God. What is our vision of ourselves? Do we desire to be identified with the righteous or with the ungodly or the wicked? The Psalms begins by emphasizing what righteous persons do not do. He writes, "Happy are they who have not walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor lingered in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seats of the scornful." Psalm 1, verse 1. Righteous persons are happy, fulfilled persons whose happiness does not depend on their condition in life, but on their relationship with God. Whether one is rich or poor, forgotten, insignificant, or prominent, all share in this happiness which comes from God. One knows righteous persons by the things they will not do, says the psalmist. There is a way they will not walk, a path they will not stand in, and a seat they will not sit in. This suggests that righteous persons will think, behave, and belong in ways different from the ungodly. The righteous person will know how to discern good, godly advice from bad. The righteous person will not carry out the advice of the ungodly, but keep focus on the word and the will of God. The righteous person knows that the counsel of the wicked will come from within sometimes. If one loses focus on the word and the will of God, for our thoughts come from the heart and control our words and our actions. Matthew chapter 5 verse 8 says to us, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." The righteous person is not afraid to take a road less traveled because the word of God reminds him or her that one is invited to enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. Matthew chapter 7 verse 13. The righteous person does not sit in the seat of the scornful, who love to sit and criticize the people of God, always knowing what should be done, but like the spectators at a football match, never joining the game. Those who sit in the seat of the scornful add nothing of value to the mission and ministry of the church. What do righteous people do? Their delight is in the law of the Lord, and they meditate on his law day and night. Verse 2. throughout the Psalms, the phrase law of the Lord is used to describe the entire Word of God, not only the law in the first five books of the Bible. The righteous person, therefore, delights in the Word of God. The righteous person finds supreme pleasure in reading and studying the Word of God. Therefore, that person will hunger for the Word and be a doer of the Word and not a hearer only. The righteous person will not only read the Word, but meditate on the Word of God day and night. The righteous person will sit quietly and allow his or her spirit to inwardly read, mark, learn, feed on, and digest the Word to enable that spirit to be strengthened in its desire to improve its relationship with the God who is Spirit. The righteous will be rewarded by being, and the psalmist says, like trees planted by streams of water, bearing fruit in due season, with leaves that do not wither. Everything they do shall prosper. Verse 3. A tree planted by streams of water has a continuous source of water. It will never wither. Its roots will be strong and run deep. Therefore, such a tree will be difficult to uproot. Such a tree will bear fruit in due season. The righteous person will bear fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. They will bear fruit when they are mature enough and at the right time as they continue to grow in their relationship with God. There is no barrenness for the righteous person because they are connected to the true vine. They will bear fruit, fruit that will last. In the life of the righteous person, there will be good times and bad. There will be success and failure. But God will bring forth something good and wonderful in all the events in the life of a righteous person. Therefore, even in difficult times, something good will happen. The righteous will prosper. On the other hand, the ungodly will be like chaff, the outer part of the kernel of the grain, which is removed before the grain can be used. It is light, useless, and is blown away by the wind. The ungodly who have no weight will be found lacking on the day of judgment. They shall not be able to stand among the righteous on that day, if they choose to remain among the ungodly. The psalmist concludes by warning that God knows the way of the righteous. Not only is God able to identify the righteous, but God will assist them on their journey. However, the way of the ungodly leads to destruction. They are on a broad road, a broad path that may seem comfortable and happy now, but in the end, they shall perish. So the question is, where do we see ourselves? Where do you see yourself? Which of the two groups represent your vision for yourself? Let us pray God will, with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, enable us to declare as our vision, becoming like trees planted by streams of water. Amen. Let us pray. O God, by whose power Christ was raised from the dead, so that the worst that men could do had no dominion over him, lay your hand in your loving tenderness on all who need this message most. Because the Son of Man came to seek and save those who were lost. And so we pray for those who have lost their dear ones and whose hearts are sad. For those who have lost their health and vitality. For those who have lost their youth. For those who have lost their livelihood. For those who have lost opportunities. For those who have lost patience. For those who have lost their faith. For all, we pray, who are wounded in the battle of life and are nigh unto despair, especially in this time of this pandemic. Give us all such a vision of Christ's rising glory, that we too may trust his power, that we too may know that nothing can separate us from your loving purpose, or finally defeat your will. So may we rise up from all our distress and despair and take heart again. Walk with Christ, the companion of our souls, to whatever lies in store for us, to find at last that faith that has its own reward, that we have not missed our way, that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which seemed lost forever. We ask all this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You are not only risen and alive, you are Lord. This is your ascension, your ascendancy over the whole universe. You, O Lord, stand over and above all that is best in life as its source. You stand above all that is worse as ultimate victor. You stand above all powers and authorities as judge. You stand above all failure and weakness and sin as forgiveness and love. You alone are worthy of total allegiance, total commitment. You are Lord, my Lord, and my God. Amen. O God, whose blessed Son, our great High Priest, has entered once for all into the holy place, and ever lives to intercede on our behalf, grant that we, sanctified by the offering of his body, may draw near with full assurance of faith by the way which he has dedicated for us, and evermore serve you, the living God, through the same your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you, O Father, and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. And as our Savior Christ had commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forever. Amen. Let us so love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And may Christ our King make you faithful and strong to do his will, that you may reign with him in glory. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you this night and always. Amen. And brothers and sisters, as we find ourselves today in this state of emergency, we pray that we will continue to obey the rules. Pray for those who are ill with the COVID virus. Pray for the families of those who have died. Remember those who have died, and please be safe.